Good morning. I'm Pastor Matthew, the youth pastor. I'm excited to be here today. You can always tell when the youth pastor is going to preach because the front row is deacons keeping an eye on me. Let's pray. God, we thank you that we can gather so publicly and freely to study your word. God, we ask that you would bless this time, that you would give me your words, that as we worship, we would be free from distractions, from work and home and family and all the different things that pull on our minds, that you would help us to set that aside as we worship you, as we study your word. In your name, amen. I get the first week in a new series that we're starting called Home Sweet Home. And over the next few weeks, we'll be talking about topics like children, marriage, singleness. But I get to launch it off with the topic of love. Just a small thing. We'll be looking a little bit at love today. And I love that we're launching this series with that because love is so much bigger than any one of those pieces. It actually impacts so much more of our life than just those areas. You know, a lot of times in our culture, in our world, when the word love is used, it's typically about, you know, close family relationships or even romantic. You know, people flash to Taylor Swift music videos, or if you're older than 17, Celine Dion or Whitney Houston songs. I don't know. I remember when I was in high school, one of my close friends, he had a girlfriend. Briefly, it was high school. She dumped him the week after Christmas. It's not cool. And for the next like 2 or 3 months, it was pathetic. He just walked around singing that song, Last Christmas, I Gave You My Heart, but and it wasn't good. And this was like 1992, so that was a very hip song and relevant at the time. And I remember looking at him going, dude, I will never be that guy, right? And then I fell in love. And I was walking around singing that. It was 1992, so it was cool. That Bangles song, Eternal Flame, you know the one? I'm not going to sing it. So if you don't know it, look it up. And then it didn't last, clearly. And so when it brutally and tragically was over, I was that pathetic guy walking around singing the Roxette song, It Must Have Been Love, But It's Over Now. It's all dramatic and like sad and mopey, and it was awful. But those are the kind of things that sometimes flash to our minds. There's so many ways in which we are wired and designed for love, right? And I think it's that part of us that resonates so much with certain songs or movies. There's so many of our most popular movies are love stories. I got absolutely blindsided a couple years ago. I sat down to watch a cartoon with my kids, right? Thought it was going to be this fun film about a grandfatherly fellow, a little boy, and some balloons. You've seen it. I love how in the space of a few minutes in a movie I thought was for my kids, they were able to paint this picture of a lifetime of love that was sacrificial and serving, right? The kind of love that we're called to do. It makes sense to our culture. Our world gets that kind of love is what we're supposed to do in marriage, in family, with our children, with our close friends, right? The thought I have, though, as I come in today, is if the love that you practice makes sense to the world, then you're limiting what God has actually called you to. That our love is to be even bigger than that. that he's called us to something more, that really what God has called us to doesn't even make sense to the world around us. I remember walking in on a Bible study group in my church 10 years ago, seeing this poor guy who had never been to the church before. He wasn't a believer. He had never gone to church, and he had somehow accidentally ended up in this room full of people that were just bombarding him about love, that in a very not loving way. But they were just hammering him with, no, God says we're supposed to love our enemies. You're supposed to love your enemies. You're supposed to love these people. You're supposed to love. And he was sitting there literally saying, that's crazy. That doesn't make sense. Like, that's ridiculous. This was a guy, I knew him. It was a struggle to ask him to love his family because that was a tough environment. And they were hammering him with all of this stuff. And I'm sitting there going, man, I've got the Holy Spirit in me, and that's a tall order to love the way they're telling him he's supposed to be loving. The love that God calls us to does not make sense to the world, right? That we are called to love in all these areas of life. 1 Corinthians 13, if you want to flip there. If you've ever been to a wedding, you've heard this chapter, right? We married people like to just grab things as though they're ours. We almost, after a while, we almost start to think of this as a passage written for couples, for married people. But the picture in which this passage, I love these verses, verse 4, love is patient and kind, love is not jealous or boastful or proud or rude. Love does not demand its own way. Love is not irritable, and it gives no record of when it has been wrong. It is never glad about injustice, but rejoices whenever the truth wins out. Love never gives up, never loses faith, is always hopeful, and endures through every circumstance. It's very applicable to marriage relationships, family relationships, relationships with friends. But that's a passage that was actually written for something else. If you look at the bigger context, chapter 11 is talking about church, worship, ministry, and church. Chapter 12 is talking about how the body, the church body, is all one, that we're called to different pieces. But you start to get the sense that this is a small part of a much larger conversation on what the church is called to do, what believers are called to be with each other and with the world around them. These chapter numbers and verses were not how it was originally written. They were added a few hundred years later as a tool for us to quickly navigate and find specific passages. But at the time, this was one larger thought. And I love that chapter 12, he's talking about the body and the church. He says, first, however, let me tell you about something else that is better than any of them. So he's talked about all these aspects of the church building up to what love is supposed to be, what Christians are to be known for. And then after chapter 13, which is 13 of the most beautiful verses on love, in chapter 14, he moves on to other aspects of how we are to practice church. But even there, he says, let love be your highest goal. Right? That is this much larger thought than just these few relationships that make sense to the rest of the world. Ultimately, the point that I think we're talking about today culminates in 1 John 3:16, where it says, we know what real love is because Jesus gave up his life for us. So we also ought to give up our lives for our brothers and sisters. That real love is about sacrifice. Real love requires service. And that our real love is called for us to be known for that in all of our relationships and interactions. If you look at God's example, God's love for his children, us, people, was so great that he sent his son Christ to die on the cross to restore the relationship with him. You know, and part of me marvels at that now that I have some children of my own. Even in my worst days, I don't know that there is a moment that I would be willing to sacrifice one of them for others, right? But that's the degree of God's love. Christ's love, specifically referenced in this passage, was to the point of willing to die to reach others for him, right? That was the point of his love. If you start to think about the way those others that he was trying to reach were treating him then and since then and before then, it's amazing the level of his love. God's love, I was reminded of even again in recent weeks as Pastor Bo has talked about this idea, this vision of how God has placed spiritual treasures in us and in this body that we're to bring to this region, in this area, the people around us that have these spiritual yearnings, that we are here to connect them with the spiritual treasures that God has provided, right? And I was thinking about that going, man, look at the ways that God has lovingly reached out to his children in this region, in this area. I don't think there's a school around here that doesn't have believers in it. That each one of you have been, you know, if we were to go around and name off the neighborhoods that we live in, it'd be a phenomenal list of neighborhoods just represented in this hour. And then you add up the ones in the first hour and the third hour, and you go, man, God has lovingly placed his children in all of these different neighborhoods and workplaces and schools and environments that he wants to reach this region, and he has placed you there specifically and intentionally because he loves your neighbors. He loves your coworkers. He loves your classmates. He loves these people, and he's using you to be that avenue of connecting them to the spiritual treasures he wants them to have. That's the kind of love that he has, that we are called to not just love our families and our friends and our children, but that we're called to love our enemies. We're called to love the people we don't notice, you know, that we don't like or dislike. We're called to love our coworkers, our classmates, our neighbors, and the guy that really annoys you with the loud dog, right? But that we are called to love all these people in a sacrificial and serving way. Communion, in many ways, is a reminder for us of one of the ultimate demonstrations of love that should be present in our life. You know, that as believers, we celebrate this to remember that the bread representing Christ's body being broken, the physical pain that he suffered out of love for us, the cup we drink to remind us of how his blood was shed so that we could have eternal spiritual life. We're going to take a few moments now to partake of communion. Our practice here is that you're not required to be a member or a regular part of this church to participate in communion. If you are a believer, if you follow Christ, you are welcome to join with us as we serve communion.